So if a chav does not welcome you, welcome everyone. We're going to speak this morning about Jesus extending his church. So we're in Acts 9. Last week we spoke about Jesus confronts Saul. That's my first point this morning as well. He confronts Saul. Just a recap. So we have Saul, a normal man. Nothing special about him. Very zealous man, hard-working man. Grew up in Tarsus, it's a city in modern-day Turkey. It was a Greek-speaking city. And the plan that his parents envisioned for him was not to be a Greek-speaking Jew, but a Hebrew-speaking Jew. So in those days, it was a big thing. They wanted him to be an Orthodox Jew, not a Greek-speaking Jew. Normally the Greek-speaking Jews, we will call them Hellenists. But nothing bad about that name, it was just a name, Greek-speaking Jews. His parents didn't want him to be a Hellenist, they want him to be a pure Hebrew of Hebrews, speaking Hebrew, learning in Jerusalem from the leader of the Pharisees, Gamaliel. So we have Saul sitting at his feet, learning from him. All the learning started making him very zealous, very, I think in a way, start making of the temple that was in Jerusalem an idol. And he became a fanatic in terms of the law and the temple. He expected a Messiah, that was a good thing. He expected the Messiah. The only thing, the Messiah was not Jesus. So I remember a conversation I had with a Muslim friend that I was working with, and we could speak about Jesus, except that for him, Jesus was Isa, and Jesus had a plan in terms of the Messiah of the Muslims coming back to earth. So Jesus was his lieutenant. So we had common ground there, except my Jesus was the only God, the King of Kings. His Jesus was the lieutenant of all the armies that will come against the infidels, which would be, of course, us and anybody else that's not part of the Muslim faith. So we have Saul that became a fanatic for the law, for the temple. But there's another dimension of Saul that we looked at, and that is his soul. There was a fury inside of Saul. We start with Acts 9, first part of Acts 9, verse 1 to 8. Sorry, Nicholas. We're not going to go through that. We went through that the last time. Just trying to sum it up. So, if we can picture Saul, some of the writers of this, we can picture Saul, he was like a lion that was ravaging the church, picturing the lamb, the church as a lamb, him as a lion, he was ravaging the church. He went all out. He got subpoenas from the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, because the Sanhedrin didn't have jurisdiction in Damascus. So he had to get letters of authority to go to Damascus and get the Jerusalem Jews back to Jerusalem so that they can be, come before the courts, put in prison, killed, whatever it took, Saul did it. So Saul was a bad guy. That's a point we're getting to. But Jesus confronted him on the road in his condition. And look at us. Look at us. Don't see us as wonderful, perfect, and Saul is bad. In that condition, Jesus met him. And in a loving way, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's the heart of the Father coming through. No matter where we are, no matter what we do, the Father will keep on chasing us. There's a term in the old books, like if you like to read like old books, C.S. Lewis kind of books, the hound of heaven, that's the Holy Spirit. He says, once the hound of heaven is on your track, he will follow you until he gets you. So it's almost that what was happening here. Before this encounter on the road of Damascus, God was already after Saul. With Stephen, when Stephen was martyred, Saul was there, approving of it. But the words that came out of Stephen's mouth had to penetrate into that tough exterior of Saul. The first point, he confronts Saul as Jesus. So Jesus extends his church. That's what we're talking about. Second point, Jesus connects Saul with Ananias. I wrote here in brackets through visions to both. That's 9 verse 9 to 12. So let's read that. And for 3 days he was without sight. This is now Saul. And neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. Ananias was nobody special. Ananias wasn't an apostle. He wasn't even a leader in the church. He was just one of the disciples. And Jesus came to him and said to him very specifically, or showed him very specifically, there's a man, his name is Saul. And Ananias knew about this man. He said, this man is in the street called Straight. That's how specific Jesus was to him. And Ananias said, yes, Lord, I'll go. Well, he first complained because he said, Lord, that is a bad guy. The Lord said, go. So Jesus connects Saul with Ananias. It's important to see that he showed a vision to both of them. We have our eyes, but we have spiritual eyes as well. And when God opens that spiritual eye, we see into the spirit world, which is more real than this world that we are in now. And God showed to Saul and Ananias at the same time. Remember, Saul was blind. So for 3 days, while he was not eating or drinking, couldn't see. And in that darkness, he saw this vision. If you go and read the epistles that Saul wrote, or Paul later, Saul changed to Paul, his name changed to Paul, you'll see that the theme of light and darkness is quite a strong theme that comes through. Maybe it was because of this 3-day darkness that he was in. And even before that, when he was following the people or persecuting the people of the way, he was in darkness as well while he was seeing. Third point I want to make is Jesus declares that Saul will suffer for his name. That's 9 verse 13 to 16. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Remember we spoke about witness. Witness in Greek is martyro. Martyro means martyr. When we witness, there's a suffering element connected to it. I spoke about the spiritual world, there's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan. If we are going to start witnessing about Jesus coming in the flesh, Jesus being on the cross, Jesus being resurrected, immediately there's a resistance in the spirit that is being raised. And he will use people. We're going to see it now. In Damascus, there was the resistance against this message. There was resistance when Saul went to Jerusalem. And even further on, there was resistance. Because of this message of Jesus, there was resistance. Jesus said that when you follow me, you will have persecution. Xavier, in the military, you will have persecution. You stand up for Jesus. Why? Jesus says, I was persecuted, therefore you will be persecuted. Jesus showed us the way, so we follow in his footsteps. Can you go with me to 22 verse 14 to 15? We still, as Jesus declares, that Saul will suffer for his name. So remember these three passages, Acts 9, Acts 22, 26. It's basically about the conversion of Paul, how Paul got saved three times in the same book, which means it's very, very important. So that's why we're jumping around between these three. I said 22, verse 14 to 15. And he said, the God of our fathers, Saul speaking, and he said, the God of our fathers appointed, it's Ananias speaking to Saul, sorry. The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him, Martyr, you will be a witness for him, to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. The next point is Jesus saved Saul. That's Acts 9, verse 17 up to 19. We actually saw it in that verse as well that I just read. But 9, verse 17 to 19. So Ananias departed and entered the house. Remember our big theme? Is Jesus extending his church. So Jesus is, this is all building blocks that Jesus is using to extend his church. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and he was baptized. Verse 19, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. What's beautiful there is when he got saved, immediately he went to the disciples, the people he was persecuting. Got saved and immediately there was fellowship. I don't think it was easy. These are the guys that he wanted to put in prison and take back to Jerusalem. So that's a lesson for us, not to be outside the fold, but to be inside the fold. To have fellowship with one another, to have unity with one another. I look at this thing that we're looking at now. I think they call it, John, what's that Bible? Expedition Bible. You can find it on YouTube, the Expedition Bible. And there was a clip there that we watched about a shepherd and his sheep. And it's so beautiful how a shepherd, did you see that, John? Yeah, 30 minutes, but it's so beautiful how a shepherd looks after his sheep. How when it becomes dark, he takes, and the sheep knows his voice, so he makes sounds, and then all the sheep will go into the pen. And there's one opening where he just goes and he goes and kneels down in that opening like this. All the sheep is in the pen, he's in the opening, the wolves are outside, so the wolves have to come through him to get to the sheep. Beautiful, you're welcome to go and have a look at that, you'll enjoy it. So Jesus saves Saul. Okay, the next one is important. Saul proves that Jesus is the Christ. That's in 9 verse 20 to 22. So this was Saul's message. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. So there's something very fine or almost hidden here. You've got to see that even though there's resistance, he increased in strength. And that is because of the Holy Spirit. It's not mentioned there. But when he came to the Lord, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is this partner that works with us. We can't do it. I mean, this man was persecuting. Now he's standing in the synagogues preaching Christ. Standing in This Damascus, where he was, where he grew up, where he was born, in that synagogues, the Greek-speaking synagogues, and he's preaching Christ. This is not what they want to hear. They want to kill him. Plain and simple, get rid of him. Exactly what he wanted to do when Stephen preached, or when Jesus of Nazareth was on the earth. Anybody against the temple and against the law, they wanted to get rid of them. So remember, as resistance comes, as persecution comes, the spirit in us gets stronger. That's why it says that Saul increased all the more in strength. That's in spiritual strength, Holy Spirit strength. Let's go to 26, verse 22 to 23. To this day, I've had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses and said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. We spoke about that when we had communion. Christ was the first that rose from the dead. He was the last Adam. What does that mean? Adam fell into sin because of rebellion. When Adam and Eve decided to be disobedient to God, that root of rebellion came up in their heart. Where did that start? It started long before that in heaven, when Satan rebelled. Satan said, why must God sit on the throne? I want to sit on the throne. And he rebelled, and that rebellion came through into the human race. And Jesus, which was the perfect offering, according to Hebrews 9, Jesus was the perfect offering. He was the perfect priest and the offering. So Jesus, as a priest, brought the offering, but then at the same time, he was that offering to God. That's why for once and for all, he was the perfect offering. Never again. Remember at the time, the offering, what was the right word? Kippur. Kippur is a Hebrew word that means covering. So once a year, the high priest will come into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice for the people. And sin will be covered for a year. But next year, priest must come again. The high priest must come again. Jesus was that high priest that brought the perfect offering. Never again does there need to be an offering. When he said it is done on that cross, when he died, when he said it is done, it means it was perfect. Never again there has to be an offering for sin again. He paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. Since we haven't even committed it, Jesus already paid for that. So where are we now? Saul proves that Jesus is the Christ. Next point, Saul suffers in Damascus. 9 verse 23 to 25. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. It's so beautiful that he went to this city in a murderous rage. Now this city is in a murderous rage to kill him. And he had to be taken out of the city through one of the windows, I think, in the gut in the wall. He had to be laid down. Saul suffers in Jerusalem, 9 verse 26 to 30. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. You see, once again, like in Damascus, he went for the people where the disciples, the followers of Jesus was. He wanted to be with them. Again, very uncomfortable. Remember, in Jerusalem, he destroyed the church. In Samaria, Judea, the provinces, he destroyed the church. Then he eventually reached Damascus, far away in Syria. Now he's back in Jerusalem where he started. Not a very popular guy here. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. How many verses did you say? 2:30. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists. So the Hellenists, we know, is the Greek-speaking Jews. But they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So now he's back where he was born. Full circle, all the way back to Tarsus. Last point I want to make is Jesus builds, extends his church. That's in 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. So this is the recipe for the world. Jesus came. He paid the full price. He was that perfect offering. Now Jesus is not here anymore. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said to his disciples, it's better that I go away because I send you the comforter, I send you the helper. He will remind you of everything I've ever taught. Now Jesus is working through us. We are his hands, Ian. We are his feet. They're in the police where you are. We are his hands and we are his feet. And this is the result of what Jesus is doing. The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. Jesus said this in Luke 24. He said to the disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem. I'm sending you the gift of the Father. I'm asking the Father to send you the gift. That gift is the Holy Spirit. And then he repeats in Acts 1:8, he says, when you receive power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, until the ends of the earth. And here we see this is what happened. The church extending. And it's still extending in our day. So we're seeking answers for our country, for South Africa, for the Ukraine. This is the answer. Jesus extending his church through us, through the church in Ukraine, in Russia, wherever the church is. And it's happening. China, been to China twice, not a Christian friendly country, but the church is exploding, Marius, it's exploding in China. Fastest growth in the world is happening in China with all those regulations. They monitor everything you do. You can't even go on WhatsApp there. Your emails, everything is monitored. And when you have family there, the family suffer when you're not walking in line with the government. But the church is growing. Why? Because Jesus is extending his church through us, through his people. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. This word, Lord, is you. Same word that was spoken in Genesis 1:1. When you said, let there be light. Same word, still applicable today. It will be applicable when you come, Lord Jesus. It will be applicable for eternity. You are that word, and we declare you as the word. We declare you as truth. You, Lord Jesus, are truth. When that Roman official asked you, what is truth? Truth stood in front of him. You were that truth, and you are still that truth for us today. So thank you, Lord, for your love in us and through us. Our love for one another. Keep us strong, Father. As we go from here to our houses and into these weeks, keep us strong in your spirit. May we go from strength to strength, no matter the circumstances. But may we be encouraged by your Holy Spirit and encouraged by your word and by one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. If there's anyone that needs prayer, Please, woman.